Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I first started thinking about the similarities between parenting and nature after I read a book by Alison Gopnik called The Gardener and the Carpenter. And it is a really interesting scientific and evolutionary look at the way that we parent and the way that parents and kids thrive. And it tries to inspire us to think of ourselves as parents, as gardeners, right? That our children are these wild things. They're larger than life in a way. And our job isn't to force them to grow and make them be exactly the way that we want them to be, but to admire their beauty and set up an environment that helps them to grow, but not one that forces them to grow. It's been a really helpful paradigm for me to routinely go back to, especially with four kids. My life is always loud. It's always wild. Like, I have to embrace the wildness of this metaphor. I love that idea of parenting as gardening. And I believe metaphors and new ways of looking at our everyday lives can help find deeper meaning and place our little struggles in a much larger picture. Hey, Mama, welcome to the Motherly Podcast, where we have honest conversations about modern motherhood. I am Liz Tennedy, the co-founder of Motherly, and I'm a mother of four myself. We're capping off our home design month with incredible floral designer, Sarah Winward. Martha Stewart Weddings has ranked Sarah as a top floral wedding designer, and she's traveled literally all over the world, creating beautiful arrangements inspired by the changing seasons in nature. And Sarah's also the mother of two children, and she mentors budding floral designers through her popular If I Made classes. We talked to Sarah about her lifelong connection to nature and how having an office space of her own helped to grow her business. We also talked about some simple ways to bring more nature and flowers into our homes and to our everyday lives, and why Sarah wants all of us to take a deeper look at the natural beauty that surrounds us. Sarah Winward, welcome to the Motherly Podcast.
Thank you.
So I always am curious to hear from my guests in their own words, what do you think makes your approach to motherhood unique?
Oh man, what a loaded question. I feel like I'm always figuring things out as I go. And I think maybe the second my daughter was born and, you know, you're like handed this baby and you're holding it in your arms and you're kind of like, what do I do here? And I feel like that was what I thought the second my daughter was born. Like, wow, I just have to figure this out. We're all just figuring this out one second at a time, one day at a time. I still feel that way a little bit about motherhood. That's my point of view, is always just trying to be aware of what's around us and how that influences us day to day and keep going with that.
That's really interesting in the way that you kind of see observation as such a part of motherhood, that it's just like, what is the world around me today? What is the world around my child today? I only have to kind of worry about today. One of the reasons that we're focusing this month on home and garden for our listeners is that we know that our environments have a profound impact on our day-to-day life. And of course, it has a huge impact on our children. So you are a floral designer, a renowned one at that. You travel for work on site to create these beautiful arrangements. And I know that you know the power of this kind of beauty to transform a space, transform a moment, an experience, and even transform our lives. So can you tell our listeners a bit about your start? Because you weren't always a floral designer, and how this approach to the way that you could make your impact on the world, where did this come from?
I grew up in Salt Lake City, and we had a creek and a really like dry mountain with sagebrush and cactus on it in my backyard. And I spent a lot of time outside just running around in nature. I am number 8 of 9 children. So we had a lot of free time to just run around and be creative. And so I think I've always approached the world in that way, just as like my playground, right? My open space, my place to be and to be creative. So I wasn't planning on being a florist. I was young and in school and studying something completely different, but always loved flowers and had a few friends ask me to help them with flowers for their wedding. You know, it was like sisters taking the photos, friends making the cake, like Sarah's making my bouquet. And I just found that I really loved working with flowers. And then I kind of just went from there, friends asking me to make flowers for their wedding, and then a friend of a friend, and then pretty soon a stranger asking me to make flowers for them. And I had to figure out how to type up an invoice, things I didn't know. And it was like, wow, this is becoming something. This isn't just a weekend hobby anymore. This is a business. And I think it was never with the intent of starting a business. It was just because I loved nature and was seeing flowers in nature and just wanting to paint a little picture of the bigger world with flowers. So seeing each flower as an individual or each branch or whatever it is, and identifying each personality in this leaf or that flower, and really trying to notice those and appreciate those and put them into an arrangement in a way that showcase them as individuals. And then I started doing events or larger installations and things like that, where we're kind of mass producing flower arrangements. So it's more of a challenge, I think, to look at everything as an individual flower still with its own life and its own personality. But that's kind of always my goal. I try to work with people who appreciate flowers and want to see them the way I do. And it's always my challenge to open people's eyes and invite them to see the world the way I do through a flower arrangement. It's not just decoration on the table at a wedding. I'm always trying to arrange things in a way that it invites people to look deeper into the arrangement and kind of have an experience with it and maybe see nature differently.
One of the things you said I want to dive into, which is not quite about flowers, but the part where you said you were the 8th of 9 children.
Yeah.
You mentioned how the world was your playground. I could imagine like your family was your school in a sense. I mean, you had an entire community around you. So how do you think about and describe your childhood? And how do you contrast that to, you have 2 children now? What is different in a family when you're number 8 out of 9 versus, you know, 1 of 2 children?
I mean, it's crazy, and it comes with its challenges. And also, it's amazing to know that I have this huge group of people that are my family that I can turn to if I need them. So number 8 of 9 and a big, mixed, complicated family. My little sister and I were at the tail end of things. So my next oldest sibling, I think, is 7 years older than I am. We were already born into 7 people who were already older and kind of just, you know, teenagers and moving through life. And she and I were exploring in the backyard. And I think just having that many children, you don't have individual time for all of them. You're just like, my mom's just like keeping things moving. So I think that's really a large part of who I am. I was kind of just like set free with my little sister that I'm closest to kind of have a fun day in the backyard. And I think that freedom really has shaped my approach to the world. It's just like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do in this world? And how are we going to see it? It's all up to us.
It was up to you to make your own magic.
Yeah. And I do feel like my mom taught us to be creative and then sort of just set us free. And that's something I've tried to incorporate into motherhood with my 2, and 2 is plenty for me. So we'll be stopping there. But I've tried to teach my kids to be creative and to view the world that way, and then sort of set them free in it as well.
I don't need to tell you this, but the aesthetic of flowers, the idea of gardening, It's like very on trend right now. And obviously flowers have been around a long time, much longer than we've been here. But I wonder, as someone who observes so much about the world around us, why do you think that there's almost a yearning for a connection to the natural world, especially now? Why are flowers on trend? What is happening in our culture?
I would definitely agree. We are probably, as a world, I think, trying to take a step back. You know, we've been so glued to technology. I feel like everyone's trying to bring themselves back to nature in one way or another, whether that's your diet or your garden or your career. We're all just looking for connection. And to me, humans are nature, right? We're part of nature. Humans are animals. That's how I think of myself and the world. And that's how I interact with the world. I think that's why I see flowers or just nature the way I do. And I think that's how I teach my children to see the world. My four-year-old Leland is just a sensitive little guy who's super in tune with nature, and he's got big feelings, and he is obsessed with lichen, like on trees and rocks. And he feels lichen, you know, when he sees it. He's not just like, oh, look at this cute color. It's blue or it's green. He, like, you can just feel the joy that he has for it. And I love that he sees the world the way I do and also feels it. And he also, I'll see him telling his friends like, oh, don't step on that rock. That lichen is growing, you know, you might squish it. And I think it's amazing that we're probably all born with that in our bodies, but the way we live life really quickly disconnects us from nature. So I've really made it a point to try and keep my family like really, really connected to nature all the time, just by noticing the little things, pointing out the tiny things, but also like the majestic, amazing mountains or the beautiful sunset. You know, it's like the little twigs or the acorns too.
How did the experience of motherhood, both forming a new life and bringing a child into the world, but also witnessing this new creature find their way, how did that enhance, deepen, or shift your view of what it means to be human in that integrated way with the world and the environment around us?
When my daughter was born, she had her eyes open, and she just like kept her eyes open for so long. Right after she was born, she was just like soaking in the world. And that was amazing for me to see, just who knows, you know, what she was able to process, but she was like really observing the world and trying to understand it. And I think that's her brain too. She wants to understand it's why this, why that, and then follow up questions all the time. So she has been an amazing lead for me because she's just made me really understand the importance of the way things work in the world and understand them and respect them in a certain way. And then being a mother and going through all those changes and, you know, being crazy and being thrown into it, I think I felt so human and felt the depths of myself and the highest joys also in that experience. So I feel like it really just brings to perspective everything, all the good things, all the bad things, you know, like you're really living life hard when you have a kid, I think. And so I've just learned to soak it all in. It's like if there's a quiet moment, I just like take a breath, breathe it in, smell it, see it, try and like burn it in my brain. But also if there's a hard moment, I just settle into that hard moment. I'm having a tantrum trying to get out of the car at preschool, and this is hard. And just really allowing myself to feel that and just be true and real with all of it.
How do you talk to your kids about your work and what you do as a floral designer?
I work at home. My work is around us all the time. I have flowers here surrounding me and my office over here and everything. So they see me working. And what I do love is that they see that I love what I do. One time we were working out of my garage here and I had all my freelancers come and we had this whole production set up in our garage and we were working and everyone left and then they were going to come back the next day and we were having dinner as a family. And my daughter said, "Are your friends coming over again tomorrow and you're going to make a big mess?" And I was like, yes, my friends are coming over tomorrow and we're going to make a big mess. And I kind of loved that she saw my work as me and my friends making a big mess, because doing flowers is a messy job. It's buckets of flowers everywhere, but it is joyful. And she just thought I was hanging out with my friends. So they see my work and they see me doing it, but I try to keep them in the loop with what I'm doing and remind them that I love what I'm doing. And this is a choice. And I'm so lucky to be able to have this job that is my passion. And you can have a job when you're older too. I think growing up in Utah, at least in my community, when I was a kid, there weren't very many working moms. So it sort of felt like uncharted territory for me when I started working and having kids. I really had to figure out what that even looks like. And we all struggle with the guilt of everything as a mom, but then you throw working on top of that and it's an extra layer. So, you know, I have to talk myself through that sometimes. And with my kids, I think it's pretty easy because they can see that I love what I'm doing. It's also a little bit like our life. We go on walks around the neighborhood and my kids are bringing home sticks and snake skins. And my kitchen counter right now has like a moth habitat and all these jars filled with rocks that my son crushed up to make paint pigment out of. And there's a giant blooming branch on my kitchen counter that's sprinkling petals all over everything in our kitchen. They found that on a walk and brought it home. And so my work feels the same. It's like just playing with nature. And that's what we do in our lives. And that's pretty normal to them.
I'm curious how you learned to talk yourself through the guilt that you felt. You're living a different kind of life than the one that you saw around you. What's your internal dialogue like? Or how has it evolved as you've had to talk to yourself and mother yourself through your career and the way that you're integrating work and family?
You know, that's such a struggle sometimes. Like the first 2 years of my daughter's life was like quite a roller coaster with that, trying to figure that out. My work with flowers became a job and something that I was like, this is not a hobby anymore. This is my career. About 1 year before I had my daughter, I started flowers about 2 years before my daughter was born. 1 year before she was born was when things really took off and I was starting to get my ideal clients and just like really feeling so full of life and creativity. Work was getting busier too. I had bigger jobs. And then it was the right time for us to have a child. It just felt like the right time. So I was like, okay, let's throw that on. Let's bring it all in. And I worked up until like the second she was born because I'm just a worker doer. And I had a wedding and I was like, this wedding will get done before I have a baby. So as soon as I finished up the wedding, I went into labor and had a baby. And then it was really hard for me because I have such a can-do attitude and worked all throughout my pregnancy, despite being sick and all the things. I thought, I'll bounce back. I'm a hard worker. I can absolutely just keep working after my daughter's born. And that was very much not the case. It was really hard for me for 6, 8, 9 months postpartum and like physical complications and just all the things. And that was a really big shock to me, just as myself, to lose control a little bit. I've always been able to power through whatever it was, but this was something different. So it was hard.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You know, work got pretty busy really quickly, and I had to figure out how to reconcile feeling guilty that I wasn't there all the time with knowing that I loved my job so much and it was so much fun for me and it was a great outlet, but also like my career was taking off and this is valuable time. I can't just take this year off right now. This is my year. So I had to work through that in different ways. We had childcare, but not what we should have. And it was okay, actually, with my daughter. She was pretty easygoing. I was at events sometimes with a baby in a wrap, or like she was in the car while I was dropping flowers off. She was always there, and she was a pretty easygoing baby, so that worked. But I think there are those quiet moments where, you know, I'm home and she falls asleep on my chest or something. And then you just sit there and you're like, what? I was missing this all day. Like this sweet baby breathing on my chest and snuggling into me. Like I could have this all day, every day, but I'm missing some of that. And that was really hard to realize sometimes. But I think just being able to really live the moments that I do have with my kids and also really live the moments that I'm working and loving it and just soaking in all of that for each of those is what works for me. I learned to kind of separate work and home a little bit more than I was so that I could really be present at both of those things when I was with them.
I want to talk about that actually. So I know in another podcast you mentioned that you had this breakthrough moment of opening up your own storefront. So having this space, this almost separation between home and work that really helped you creatively. And I wonder if it also helped you with any of that feeling of guilt. And I think that example is so interesting because the entire world is getting a crash course in what it's like to have no separation between work and home and family and your boss or your clients. But you made a choice, I suspect, to make a little investment in yourself and in your business. And I think it is important for our listeners to hear that you needed your own space, literally and figuratively, for work and your career. And it also reminds me of the other ways that women hesitate to invest in themselves and their dreams. So tell us what happened and what it meant to you to have your own literal space and maybe mental or physical space as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's all of that. And, you know, I've had a few different spaces. I've kept some for longer periods of time and then got rid of them and tried to work from home again because it sometimes is hard also to have another space. But what I realized was I wasn't fully dedicating myself to anything when everything was all meshed together in one space, because that means it was also meshed together in my brain. You know, I wasn't really present with my kids when I was with them because my computer was binging or this or that. You know, I'm like, just one second, just one second, just one second. And when I was working, my work was distracted as well. And it wasn't easy to just go to a space and forget that my kids were somewhere being babysat by someone. You know, I'd say for a while, I was not productive at my workspace because I was just thinking like, oh, okay, it's time for her to nap. I wonder if she's napping. It was really hard. But once I learned how to just allow my brain to do one thing at a time, I think we all benefited. And then I can also come home and want to see my kids and want to be with my kids. And I can like get down on my knees and give them a big old hug and just look in their eyes and be present instead of constantly running a list of things to do in my brain.
So you have this workspace that's sort of where you do the creative and business management side of things. You have your home and your family. I know the thing that I feel like I'm struggling with, but I suspect a lot of mothers are as well, is like, is there anything else? Is it just the work and just the family? Like, where is the time for me, time for fun, time for relationships? So I know this was a pandemic year as well, but how do you make time for anything not on that list? And what does that look like in practice for you?
I definitely would like to improve that part of my life. There's always room to switch that up. But I know that work is not me time, but it does give me great joy. So that's not downtime. And I know I need more than that, but I do feel lucky that I love my job. So that makes me happy. But my moments that I take are usually only when I need to reset. I'm not proactively giving myself space. It's usually just when I need to reset, I'll take it. I have a bath. I don't take baths as often as I would like to, but I have a beautiful bath. You know, that was my intention in putting it in my bathroom, is this is my bath for when I need it. I go for walks in my neighborhood. I set up a weekly walk date with a friend, and we've tried really hard to make that happen every week, no matter what. And that I love so much. we're just walking the whole time and looking at all the sticks and rocks on the ground and talking about it and talking about our lives, or, you know, unloading what we need to from the week. I also think I'm out in nature with my kids a lot. We'll spend hours sitting in a field or sitting by a river just playing. And I think in those moments, I'll just lay myself down in that field and just take some deep breaths, look at the sky. And just those moments that I can take in my life, I think, are really beneficial.
You're a flower expert, and most of us are amateur floral admirers. We love flowers. We don't quite know why. We like buying them at the grocery store, but we know we could do more. Maybe we could grow them. Maybe we could design them. I'm hoping you could answer some really kind of flower specific questions for us. So here's one, and I'm surprised that I don't even know the answer to it because it seems like a basic question, but what is a flower?
What is a flower? A flower is basically the precursor to any fruit that we have, which is shocking. I mean, it's shocking to me that some people don't realize that, like, every fruit that you eat was once a flower that was pollinated and then it becomes a berry. So that's pretty amazing. I did recently learn that figs are actually not the fruit of the tree. They are the flower of the tree. So they have to be pollinated from the inside of the fig. So there's, for every species of fig, there's a certain wasp that has evolved basically for that fig, and they burrow in and they pollinate the flower, and then they actually lay their eggs in the inside, and then they die inside the fig, and their babies escape out of the hole that they have chewed through the fig. So it's actually the flower, which was very interesting to me, and I love figs and they feel different to me. They have a different energy, so it makes sense that they're a flower. But I think, like, in my work too, sometimes I'm not using flowers. It's important to just notice anything that you think is beautiful, and you can bring that into your home. I have on my dining room table right now, like, a giant charred stick. It was a sagebrush that I saw on the side of the road from, like, a freeway fire of some kind. And they're just like these crazy craggy sticks that are all charred and black and so beautiful. And that's my centerpiece, you know, and those are my flowers. I mean, anything can be beautiful. You just have to take the time to look at it in a different way.
Is there an evolutionary or sort of neurological, like, reason that we're so attracted to flowers? What do you think is behind the fact that we as humans find them so arresting, compelling, beautiful, hopeful even?
I think it's because they're fleeting. You know, they don't last forever. They come and they go. And, you know, if flowers just lived forever, I think we'd probably all lose interest. You know, you really have to enjoy them in the moment. And then they're gone, you know, and by the time you're buying a cut flower at the grocery store, it's dying. It's on its way out. But that's also so beautiful. Obviously, that's the part we're observing usually, is them on their way out. And I personally love flowers once they're, like, a little bit past their prime. Their petals are starting to turn a little see-through, or maybe some of them are falling off, or there's pollen on my counter because it's shedding from the bloom. I love that last gasp that flowers have. And I think that's the most beautiful part sometimes.
So for those of our listeners, and I count myself among them, who just, we want to do more with it, but we don't know where to start. What do you recommend for an amateur flower lover on how to get started and start playing with floral arrangements and design more?
You know, I think that's it. Just start playing with things. For some reason, a lot of people are, and myself included, until I became more comfortable with flowers, you're afraid to touch flowers. You feel like they're fragile, or you're going to break it, or I don't know how to do it the right way. That's silly. Just become comfortable with flowers. Touch them, take the leaves off, give them a fresh cut, move them around in a vase. Just get to know them and don't be so intimidated by this natural thing. You know, if it was just a stick with leaves on it, just a branch, you wouldn't feel intimidated. But for some reason, if it has a flower on it, we are. So just invite them into your life more. And it doesn't have to be in a big way. It doesn't have to be grocery store flowers. It can be a branch off of the bush on the side of the road or whatever. I mean, my home is filled with plants and flowers. I don't arrange flowers for my house. I mostly have little snipped stems of something in a cup on my bathroom counter. I love the simplicity of that at home. And I think probably because it is my work, having like a complex big vase of flowers on my counter just feels overwhelming. But a bud vase with one single bloom in it by your bed or on your kitchen counter really can bring you so much joy. You know, get a couple nice vases. Maybe it's a vase that's not clear glass, so that if you're not a person who's going to change the water in your vase, you don't see it getting gross. I have ceramic vases, or like I have a lot of stone vases. I like them to be opaque because the water is distracting to me visually. I just have a handful of vases around my house so that if I do come home with flowers, I just got something right there that already looks good with the decor in my home, and I can just plop some flowers into it. It makes it easier to feel like I can bring flowers in. It doesn't feel like such a task.
You mentioned before ways that you kind of wake up your own senses. What is it about flowers, do you think, that changes the mood?
For me, it's really just diving in and looking at an individual bloom. We might just glance at the flowers in a vase, but really, if you just take 2 minutes and stare at a flower, you'll notice all these crazy things. There's veins on the undersides of the leaves, or there's all these different layers, or maybe the pollen is a different color than you're used to. And then just allow yourself to be fascinated with that. Depending on where you live, if you're in a city, maybe you just see flowers at the grocery store, or if you live somewhere where you're more accessible to nature, you can see things growing in real life. It's always amazing to me to just know that this sprung out of the earth. The earth grew this with sunshine and a little bit of water, and that's really wild.
One of the things I find so interesting about what you said during this conversation is how joyful you find your work, and the fact that you didn't grow up with a working mom, so you didn't see it modeled, you didn't study this, and it's a job that you might not have even known was a job, like a field that you could go into. Certainly with the traveling that you now do for events and the way that you're booked all over for jobs and installations. So many of our listeners, so many mothers, because of the pandemic, are really rethinking career and wanting to get back to work, but also like wanting to kind of define work on their terms. And I'm curious, as someone who's made it to the other side, what advice would you have for listeners who are just at the beginning of the journey and trying to figure out where can I make a difference and also feel that joy in my career, also get paid what I deserve to be paid for this work? What advice would you have for someone at the beginning of that?
You know, I set out doing this because I loved it and it became a job. So I never had a business plan, and I did not start out as a business-minded person. So I had to learn all of that. And I definitely learned a lot the hard way. And then, you know, colliding with having a family at the same time, I very quickly learned that my time is valuable and my creativity is valuable, but also my literal time is valuable because then I have to pay someone to watch my kids. So I have to be making enough money to make it worth it. And I've just learned that along the way. I feel like every year I evaluate, you know, like what worked and what didn't, and what kind of work made me happy, what kind of work paid me well. And you find a balance between all of those things. And I think balance is one of those words that when I first started working really drove me crazy, because I'm like, how do you find balance? Like, I'm returning emails at 2 a.m. and that's what I have to do. There's no balance. But I realized balance for me is finding the right proportions of each of those things. It's the big jobs that are hard that pay well, and maybe the jobs that are smaller that don't pay well, but really truly make me happy. And ideally I have both. And thankfully a lot of times it is both.
At Motherly, we believe that motherhood brings out our superpowers, and those are skills, strengths, forces, magic within us. And often those are things that we didn't know were there until we had kids. So, Sarah, I'm wondering, what are your superpowers?
I think just to keep going sometimes is a superpower. It's a very practical one, but we all just kind of have to keep going, right? To just power through that hard day, or to like keep cooking dinner because we all need food. And then somehow with kids, you still have to have a good attitude, at least on some scale. And I think that's what motherhood has brought out in me. So like, I've always been a doer, I can keep going, but then you still have to be able to listen to a child tell you something special while you're multitasking and really hear them and look in their eyes. And sometimes that's harder than others, but being able to do that is something that I've learned since I've had kids.
Well, Sarah Winward, thank you so much for joining us on the Motherly Podcast.
Thank you so much, Liz. It's been really fun.
Do you like flowers?
Yes.
Which kind do you like?
Dandelions.
Oh, they're lovely. What do you like about dandelions?
Because they have beautiful petals.
True. Where have you found dandelions?
At school.
And did you ever pick flowers at our house or at school?
Some at school, some at home.
Which ones did you pick at home?
I picked some wishing ones, and I picked some dandelions and some big flowers.
Oh, the daffodils? And what did we do with the daffodils? Do you remember?
I don't know.
I do. You put them into a little bouquet, and did we put them right here on the kitchen counter?
Oh, I put that on my snack table.
Mm-hmm. What color is your favorite flower?
Purple.
Purple?
I think that will be part of the podcast.
That's it for today's episode. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Next month, we're focusing on a really important topic, especially now, and that's mental health and motherhood. We hope you'll tune in. And as always, we'd love it if you spread the word about the podcast, share us with a mom friend, or leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. The Motherly Podcast is produced by Jennifer Bassett with audio engineering from Seaplane Armada. Our music is from the Blue Dot Sessions, and I am your host, Liz Tennedy. Thank you so much for listening.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.